No one ever cared for me like Jesus. I remember the first time I heard that song was visiting up in Tennessee Temple. And Brother Faulkner sang that. And I've loved that song ever since. I thank you for it, brother. That was wonderful. I'm about to lose my voice. I've already done Sunday school, and that's pretty much my limit as far as talking. So y'all pray for me, and I'll try to not put you in agony or anything like that, you know. But it is good to see you in the Lord's house this morning. Good to have our visitors with us. I thank God for folks that are faithful to come. And thank God for the folks that are watching and listening and things like that that can't be here. And like, you know, hi, Linda, my wife and my mom couldn't be here. And Sister Sheila, well, we really need to pray for her. And of course, Living Proof, we always miss them. But they're such a blessing to so many people that pray for them today. And how they can minister to folks and be a blessing. And then also Brother Chad and Sister Sarah and them tow-headed boys, they kind of grow on you. You miss them real quick when they're not here. So be sure and pray for them. He's preaching this morning, and I know he would covet your prayers. Thank you very much. speaking of voices, I bet you can't guess what I wanted to preach on this morning. Voices. It's kind of ironic, I guess. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I understand that these verses of Scripture have one main subject. One topic in mind here that the Holy Spirit is dealing with in this particular church, and that is the use of tongues. And as I understand tongues in the Bible, it's a language. And I tease my wife all the time because she speaks to me in a Spanish that Spanish don't know. She makes up words, and we laugh about that a lot, but I know what she means. I tell her, well, she's from Arkansas, and that's a totally different language. But we have fun with that, and then I remember in Mississippi years ago, we were learning sign language, which is a voice, the voice of the hands. And my son, two sons and daughter, my wife, we all learned sign language. And there were different times, you know, like once a month or something like that, we would have eat supper and I would tell them, okay, no talking. Everything that we do has to be sign language. And so we did that. And then if we were at the store and I was in the car with the kids, my wife would come to the window and she would sign a question about something that I wanted to buy or something like that, and I would sign, and of course the kids were trying to, and a lot of times people just thought we were deaf. And so, you know, that was okay, but there are ways of communicating, and in this verse of Scripture particularly, one of the verses, but I want to read in 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14, verse 7, and even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. I want to preach a few minutes, Lord willing, on that last phrase, so many kinds of voices in the world. And every one of those voices are significant. I think about voices. It talked about here in this verse of Scripture about the trumpet. You ever seen the cavalry shows on TV and everything? And they say, sound retreat. Retreat sounds different than all of the other sounds. And when they play that, everybody starts getting out of there. But if he says, play retreat, and he starts playing something else, they're going to get killed because they don't know what to do. And with that thought of uncertainty in mind, I want us to think about voices as we go through this. In this verse, the word voices is a general kind of term, and it has a broad meaning. It's not just talking about the language. Some people use the word unknown tongues. To me, German is an unknown tongue because I don't know it. I knew some of it when I was in Germany and used to kind of communicate it some, but I've lost all of that except roten in bit verboten. And that means smoking in bed is forbidden. So, you know, and things like that. But French, all these languages around the world, Vietnamese, they're all unknown languages to me. And if someone came into this room and started speaking Vietnamese, trying to communicate something to us, that would be an unknown tongue. And biblically speaking, if they were to do that, then God would have to enable someone, or someone would have to know that language, would stand up and translate it so that we could understand what was being said. That's tongues in the Bible. That's what it all means. Somebody's got to know it. Somebody's got to translate it, or they got to shut up. It ain't unknown gibberish and all that. The Bible specifically says it's language. Even Paul talks about the language. Now, with that thought in mind, that word simply means a sound. Language, as it is in this context, thunder, noise, to disclose or to address for any purpose. So anytime you hear a noise, it's significant in some way. You ever hear a mouse trap snap? It's significant, isn't it? You ever baby cry at night? We have a baby monitor in our room that we can hear my mom, and when she's hurting or when she needs us. Sometimes at night I'll lay there thinking I'm hearing things. So every sound that we hear in Elkhart, where I live, right outside of Elkhart, when a tornado is in the area, there's a loud siren going off. And it tells me that there's a tornado someplace. So we all get in the closet, things like that. Every sound has a meaning. Because of this, we understand that there are innumerable voices that can be heard throughout our lives, some to be heeded, some to act upon, or simply set to thought, some to ignore, and some to be rejected. Let me ask you a question. If someone came to you in the church and started complaining about someone else in the church, that's a voice. What would you do? What would you do? You have a responsibility, according to the Word of God, you have a responsibility to do something. It's not something you ignore. It's something you have to act upon. In that particular case, you say, okay, let's go ask them. And that voice can be stopped, or whatever they're saying can be justified and something done about it. Every voice, every voice. I remember one time somebody came up to me and said something about our pastor that was kind of derogatory, being the meek and mild person that I've always been. I told them I was going to knock their block off if they said anything else about him. I remember one time Brother Eddie Flowers up in Arkansas, he was a professional wrestler. He also was a ranger in the military, in the Army. He was an airborne ranger instructor, and he was a massive-sized man, big, big man. He was also a pharmacist. And when he got saved, there was a little short, slim man came and knocked on his door one time. He just happened to be home, and he opened the door, and he said, "What do you want?" And the guy backed up a little bit, and he said, "Well, I just wanted to tell you about Jesus." And I think he slammed the door in his face, told him, "Not right now." Well, he came back another time. "What do you want?" Same thing. He said, "I just want to tell you about Jesus." He said, "Well, come on in." So he came in. He told him about the Lord. Eddie Flowers got saved. The first thing he did once he got saved was go to his manager. Well, the first thing he did, he sold his Cadillac. He went to his manager and bought out his contract. Then he went to everybody he knew that had a picture of him as a wrestler and bought them back. God changed his life. And he loved that preacher so much. One day he was sitting on the front row and some of the deacons were in a row behind him. And the pastor said something and a deacon stood up and called him by his first name and said, "No, we're not doing that." It struck Eddie wrong. And he turned around and grabbed the guy's lapels and picked him up off the ground and was going to do bodily harm. And the pastor said, "Eddie, we don't do that here." So he set him down. But all of those voices invoke some kind of reaction. You hear them at work. You hear jokes and you don't want to listen to it. You hear a story from a guy that keeps you from doing work because all he does is goof off. You hear sirens go off. You hear ambulance. You hear a dog bark. Every one of those sounds has something to stir an interest or create some kind of thought in your mind. And the Bible is very clear about these voices. In the Bible, we have the voice of God. We didn't hear God's voice. There was no man alive that heard God's voice when he said, "Let there be light." Adam wasn't here yet, but we know God spoke it. And what happened? There was light. God created the world just by speaking. The Holy Spirit came and did the work. As soon as man was created, God's voice said that he could eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden, do not eat of it. From the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. The devil also has a voice. The devil, hating God, came to the woman and deceived her. Said God was a liar. God don't want you to know all the good things you can enjoy by eating of that fruit. He had a voice, and she heeded that voice. And she did eat, and she gave to Adam, and he did eat. And guess what happened? They died. They died spiritually that day, and they died physically. And we went through that last time I taught Sunday school. You know he died as an old man, but he died before 1,000 years was up. Nobody's ever lived past 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. The day is as 1,000 years with God. The Bible tells us that authority has a voice. The police, the military. My son was tired of hearing his dad tell him, "Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that." So when he graduated high school, He moved out, lived with some friends for a while, started tasting of what the world had to offer. And he got tired of his boss telling him what to do and other people telling him what to do. So you know what he did? He went and joined the army. And that was the biggest joke I ever heard. I told my wife then, I said, they're going to tell him when to eat, when to brush his teeth, when to get up, when to sit down, when to talk, when not to talk, when to do everything. You cannot move without somebody telling you what to do. And after a week of basic training, I got a letter. Said, Dad, I've learned an awful lot since I've been here. And so voices, some we heed, some we don't heed. Some we need to listen to. Some are informative. Some are destructive. But they're always out there. And somebody is always going to be talking to you one way or the other. And the question is, what voices are you listening to? This may not be just for you. There's people watching on YouTube or listening somewhere, I suppose. There may be somebody out there that's like a young man that I knew that was going to commit suicide because he was living away from God, knew he was living away from God. His life was a contradiction, living away from home. And it was killing him spiritually to know that as a Christian, you can't do this. God will spank you. God will chasten you. But just being involved in things that shouldn't be involved in. And he got to the point where he couldn't take it anymore. And as he was about to do what he should never think about doing, there was a sound, a voice at the door. And he went and opened the door. And it was a young man from the Air Force base nearby that he had learned to love that family, being in that church from time to time, even kept their kids when they needed a babysitter. And that young man said, I don't know why God wanted me to come see you tonight, but I was reading and he gave me a verse to share with you for whatever reason. He had no clue. And the verse was, a living dog is better than a dead lion. That voice that gave that scripture turned his life around. And that young man is in Bolivia today as a missionary. Thousands of people have been saved and continue to be saved because of a voice. There are times when God nudges you and says, you need to talk to that person. You need to tell them about Christ. You need to try to encourage that individual. You need to say something. And we think, well, they're busy or I don't have time or what do I say? We always hear the voice of excuses. There's voices. I'll read a few. There's a voice of authority. There's a voice of rebellion. I ain't going to do that. You can't make me. You ever hear kids say that? Sometimes, you know, who do you think you are? The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. If you rebel or have a rebellious attitude, you're practicing witchcraft, according to the Bible. There's a voice of love. Isn't it nice when somebody just comes and puts their arm around you and says, I love you. I'm praying for you. I want to encourage you. Can I help you? Do you need something? The voice of love. We all like to hear that. There's a voice of hate. Get out of here. You're no good for anything. I remember my dad said that his father, my grandpa, told my dad as a young man, because of some choices he was making or whatever, he said, you're not worth the powder it'd take to blow your head off. Those are encouraging words from a dad, right? My dad, I tell you some words that my dad used. My dad was in the Army. He was guarding SS troopers from Germany. They brought him to North Carolina. And they were very dangerous people, but he was a military policeman and he was guarding them. There was a threat on his life one time, and actually one of them saved my dad's life. But my dad contracted spinal meningitis. He was in the hospital and he got so bad, the doctor told him, he said, you better make things right, get things taken care of, because you're not going to live. My dad said, yes, I am. He said, what do you mean? He said, my Bible tells me that if you'll honor your mother and father, that God will give you long life. That's the first commandment with promise. And he said, I've honored my father and my mother, and God promised to give me long life. He was in his 20s then. My dad died 2015. He was 92, almost 93 years old. He heard a voice and he discarded that voice because he had heard another voice that gave him a promise. Voices, they're all over. There's voices of foolishness. Hey, you want to go over here and do this? Hey, y'all want to do that? There's a voice of reason. There's voices of instruction, voices of wisdom. These are the sound of languages. The Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, the voice of thunders, the voice of many waters. You ever been by a waterfall? I've been to Niagara Falls at 2 o'clock in the morning. There ain't nobody there. But all you can hear is that thunderous water. I've been up to Yellowstone, one of those waterfalls. All you can hear is the water, just thunderous water. And the Bible talks about it has a voice and it sings of the majesty of God the Creator. There's storms approaching. I was studying some last night and I kept hearing thunder. It didn't come with any rain or anything, no lightning at our house, but it was probably 15, 20 miles north of us, but there was thunder. I could hear somebody was having a storm. Voices of warning. As I said, all the thorns, horns, and alarms and things that go off. One of the greatest noises that I hear, my wife kids me about it sometime, is that when I was pastoring over in Tomball, we were right on one of the main streets where all of the motorcycles went through. And I'd be preaching, and here come about 15 Harley-Davidsons. Now, Harley-Davidsons are music to my ears. And it's very distracting when you're trying to preach and you hear all these Harley-Davidsons. It makes you want to just kind of, you know, go that way. I remember when I was in the service up in Kansas, used to drag race. Drag racing, the smell of that fuel, nitrous, rubber burning, gets in your blood. And every time I hear a car that cranks and sounds good, it just reminds me of things. Sometimes all you have to hear is a voice, and it reminds you of something you wish you had been able to forget. Sometimes it reminds you of something very sweet and wonderful that you don't want to forget. But these voices, I remember a little boy was at our house one time, and I had a dog who weighed 185 pounds. He was a Rottweiler. His name was Angel. He was a very, very good dog. He was trained as a guard dog. Kept him in the backyard, and there was burglar bars in one area where he couldn't get out. And the rest was chain-link fence, and a little four-year-old boy kept sticking his hand in there, teasing him. And the mother kept saying, don't do that. Don't tease him. Don't put your hand through the fence. And the kid would rebel and say, but I'm a veterinarian. I know I work on dogs. I know I'm a doctor. And kept making all kinds of excuses like that. And then we were barbecuing around in the carport and stuff. The dog leaned against the burglar bars, and of course the kid went up there and stuck his hand through. And when he did, I heard a sound. The first sound was whoa. The second down was the sound was a squeal. The third sound was, "I told you not to do that," from the mother. And we had to stop, take the boy to the hospital because he had a bite through his hand. That dog could have ripped his arm off. You see, Satan can destroy your life. And God keeps saying, don't do that. Don't put your hand there. Don't go there. Don't be with them. Don't do this. All kinds of things that God says because he loves us. And sometimes being stubborn or prideful, we wind up getting wounded. In Genesis, God spake with his voice. And the result of listening to the devil's voice was death. There was another voice. Cain was jealous and he killed his brother Abel. God came to Cain and said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." That was a voice of innocence, the voice of blood. You know, the Bible says that the life is in the blood. And the life of righteous Abel was crying out to God from the ground. Just because we can't hear the voice doesn't mean God can't hear the voice. Cain also had a voice. After God had pronounced judgment upon Cain, Cain said, my punishment is more than I can bear. You know, that was before Cain was cast into hell. That was before hell was enlarged to receive those that turn against God. There will come a time, the Bible tells us, when they will be cast into eternal fire, and that punishment, just like the man in Luke chapter 16, the man said, "I thirst, the flame is kindled against me, I thirst." He couldn't come out, he couldn't get relief. And I believe that in the Bible, in the Bible, it's explicit that we will have all of our ability to think and to remember and to feel when people are cast into hell. And they will remember all of those warnings. They will remember all those opportunities, and they will be punished for an eternity. God's voice is heard from Genesis to Revelation, speaking of the redemption plan for all mankind. Salvation through God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, his sinless life, his sacrificial death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension to heaven, and his coming again. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the voice we need to listen to. That's what our voices need to be telling the lost, encouraging the lost. What has Satan said? Well, Satan has a dominion in this world. The Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air. To me, that solves the problem of UFOs and all those mysterious things. The devil did it. And he's still doing it. But our flesh, just think about, our flesh is as corrupt as Satan. Some people see people do things, they say, "I would never do that." But your flesh is so corrupt, your natural man is so corrupt, that you have the capability of doing what Hitler did, or what anybody else has done in the flesh. But once you get saved, the Holy Spirit rules in your spirit, And you don't have to experience those kinds of things in your flesh. Satan don't have to have dominance or dominion in our life because we don't have to listen to his voice. John the Baptist had a voice. The Bible says the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make his path straight, talking about Christ. His message was repent. That's the voice that Israel heard, was John the Baptist. Some loved him, some hated him, but he had a voice. He was the one that said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It was his voice that taught the disciples to turn and look at Jesus Christ and to begin to follow him when they heard the voice of Christ. The Bible also talks about the voice of reason. In Isaiah 1, 18 through 20, God pleads with his people saying, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's a promise from God, pleading with people to come and repent of sin. Turn to him and let him bless them. He said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. There's all kinds of blessings in a relationship with our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. That was God's voice. There's a good thing that can happen if you'll come to me, but if you choose to go your own way, it's all sorrow and hurt and horror at the end. In Matthew 7, verse 15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. I used to listen to the radio a lot more than I do now. I listened to radio preachers. And it always got me how that some of these people would have a following of gullible people. And they would say, if you'll send me $25, I'll send you a piece of this prayer cloth and you can put it on wherever it is you're hurting and you'll be healed. We know there is a healer. His name is Jesus Christ. But it's not God's will that everybody be healed. You've all known people that you loved and cherished that are no longer here. We've all lost folks. It's not always God's will that somebody live. You ever think about a Baptist prayer meeting on Wednesday night? Most of the people in the prayer meetings that I've been in, pray for Sister So-and-so. She's on her deathbed. She's got stage 4 cancer. I'm not saying you don't pray for them, but you got to pray for them right. But these people are wanting people to pray them out of heaven. Pray for her because we don't want to lose her. Well, if she got stage 4 cancer and she's so old that even if she got well from her cancer, she'd have to have somebody take care of her, why not let her go to heaven? Why not pray that God be merciful to her and not let her have to suffer and just go ahead and take her and let her be in heaven in the glory of God? But I've been around so many people that we pray selfishly and God hears our voice, but many times he don't hear our prayer because it's not according to his will. When you hear the voice of God, through his voice of conviction, there's a voice of conviction, there's a voice of compassion, and there's his voice of love. Remember when Jesus was overlooking Jerusalem and he stretched out his arm and said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have taken you as a hen takes her chicks under her wings, and you would not. You wouldn't let me love you. There are people today, people I know, people you know, going through their life just ignoring the things of God, ignoring the call of God, the blessings of God, the invitation of God. And God is constantly calling, pleading, convicting their heart, and they're saying no. I was one of those. When I got saved, I was thinking the other day, if there was a way I could do it and go back and look at the pew, I feel as though there'd probably be fingerprints in the back of that pew because I gripped it so hard. I was under such conviction. But when I turned loose, I don't even remember walking down the aisle. It just, like I floated down the aisle. But I remember being at the altar praying and asking God to forgive me, to save me. Hadn't been the same. You're going to hear voices. I hope you pay attention to the voices you hear. Every time you hear a crack, a sound, you'll think about voices. You may hear the voice of unbelief coming from yourself, the voice of doubt, voice of excuse, or the voice of presumption. That means when God says come, and you know you need to come, whatever for, you say, well, I'll do it some other time. That's presuming that God will give you another chance. We're only told we can have one. It's only by the grace of God that He gives us more. And we don't know that. Listen sometimes when you think about your friends that are lost. Just get very, very quiet and listen to the voice of agony that will be their voice when they're in hell. We need to think about things like that. We need to set those evil voices aside. We need to reject them. We need to respond to the voice of God. Respond to His invitation with the voice of faith. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I can vouch for the fact that, and you can too, vouch for the fact that when you say yes, Lord, everything gets better. What voice are you hearing? What voices do you listen to? And what voice will you obey? Let's stand.